You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. One more segment from this kitchen in Connecticut. And we're going to go through, we spent the last segment going through Steve's mock draft. This time we're going to go through my mock, which is different. Best thing I can say about it.
We'll see how PFF, the computer shakes out for you.
Yeah. All right. So let's flash it up here. It's going to look very similar. All right. So in this one, yeah, so
that
it's
looks
different
right
at the top.
To me.
Right, we talked a lot about, oh, Jaden Daniels, is he really going to drop all the way down there? No, in this mock draft, it's Caleb Williams at number one, which I think we can all agree on. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders at number two, okay. And then Drake May to the Patriots at number three. So again, like we said, I think a lot of us can probably agree that the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks. It's just a question of, A, what order are they going to be in past Caleb Williams? And B, what teams are they going to be? Now that the Bears have traded Justin Fields, there's no question as to whether they might trade the top pick.
Right.
So I think that's going to be the Bears. The Commanders desperately need a quarterback, so they're going to probably stick at number two. The Patriots also desperately need a quarterback, but they seem like a team that would be stupid enough to trade out and take somebody else.
We're bringing Jimmy G back. Oh, no. I forget where he went.
They'll figure it out. Yeah. But anyway, so in this one, so we have a couple changes, right? So instead of Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals at number four, you have Malik Nabers to the Cardinals at number four. I personally think Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver in this draft. But as we've said, we may be speaking through Louisiana colored glasses here. Either way, in this one, Marvin Harrison goes to the Chargers at number six, or sorry, number five. And the Giants take J.J. McCarthy at number six. Now, this would be the most recent annoying quarterback they've taken at number six. They also took Daniel Jones at number six overall. And I just think Daniel Jones and J.J. McCarthy are the same guy. You know, like he's a sneaky athletic quarterback. You know, he's never going to blow you away with his arm strength, but he's very accurate. It's the same guy. And I personally would be, as a back burner Giants fan, would be very disappointed if they took J.J. McCarthy. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I don't know why J.J. McCarthy, after years of everyone being like, meh, has suddenly become a top 10 pick.
Right.
I don't buy it. I really don't. It reminds me of Zach Wilson flying up draft boards. You know, we've seen this happen. I don't see it. I really don't. Like Mitch Trubisky, right? Number two overall. I was like, why is Mitch Trubisky number two overall? I couldn't figure it out then. And now it's like, yeah, well, I still can't figure it out why he went number two overall, right? Like every year we have one of these quarterbacks that everyone just convinces themselves is the guy. And there's never a good argument. Like he wasn't even good in college. They ran the ball anyway.
Well, and they do have Drew Lock now on the roster along with Tommy DeVito.
I don't know.
To me, McCarthy doesn't make any sense here, right?
No, especially because you could get a Roma. Like to me, okay, so, and this is not, people aren't here to hear my takes on the Giants, but I think you've invested in that quarterback, right? You'd be crazy to not at least let it play out
Yeah.
Because you just, why? Why wouldn't you? And so it seems like the Giants this year have kind of invested more in, hey, we signed a guard. We signed a guy that can protect him. We built up the defensive line. And I think you're in year two of that deal. You're not in year four. You're in year two. And you have never given Daniel Jones as the Giants a wide receiver.
Right.
You have not. You tried with Kenny Galladay.
Right.
You tried with Kenny Galladay. And that was an unmitigated disaster. And it wasn't Daniel Jones's fault. That was a Kenny Galladay problem. If you're not going to, let's put it this way. You have the same GM as Joe Shane. If the same guy who had the bright idea to sign Daniel Jones to this huge contract last year says this year, I changed my mind. We're not going to do this. After what? Like, after you couldn't protect him and he took a shit ton of sacks and then got hurt. Fire the GM at the same time. Right? Because that guy doesn't deserve to have his job if he's going to go back on his own decision a year later,
right?
Based on nothing but a guy getting hurt and not playing well through the first six games and a team that sucked. Fire the GM, fire the coach, start over. Don't tell me that we're going to draft JJ McCarthy, right? Like, that's, I think that's terrible. I think you get him a wide receiver. And if he still can't get it done with a true number one wide receiver, then fine. Then do what you got to do. You're heading into year three of that deal. You're going to have some outs. Taking JJ McCarthy at number six cannot be the answer for the Giants.
Somebody who took Kadarius Toney still in charge over there. I don't know.
No, they're not. They're not. That was Gettleman's last pick.
I got you. Okay.
And they took Kadarius Toney because they traded back with the Bears traded up to take Justin Fields. They traded up with the Giants. The Giants traded back, ended up with Kadarius Toney.
Wow.
And it wasn't a terrible trade. Again, like, you have to disassociate trades from the execution of the trade. Because yeah. The trade itself, I think, was good. The pick was bad. But at the time, I would have told you I want Kadarius Toney. So anyway. Moving on. Roma Dunze to the Titans at number seven. Joe Alt to the Falcons. Both mocks have Joe Alt going to the Falcons. I think that makes a lot of sense based on everything they've done. Dallas Turner gets to the Bears at number nine. There's your guy, Byron Murphy.
Turner was one that was falling to me sometimes in drafts that I was considering, but that was also before Chase Young.
Yeah, with Chase Young, it makes it a lot more difficult for me to sign off on an edge rusher. Byron Murphy, the guy you picked, goes off at number 10. So if you're wondering about the value of your pick, this mock draft, you went even higher. So cool. To the Jets.
Right.
Jared Verse, another guy that's been popular for the Saints, to the Vikings at number 11. Terrion Arnold to the Broncos at number 12. J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, to the Raiders at number 13. So you can see there's some variation in like the value of these guys.
Yeah,
Jets, that's one of the higher picks I've seen for J.C. Latham, although he went number 15 in yours. So I was conflicted, but at the end of the day, I stuck with my pick in 1.0, which is Taliese Fuanga, the offensive tackle. I like Ryan Ramczyk. I don't have any faith in Ryan Ramczyk beyond this year. Taliese Fuanga is a run-blocking, road-grading, gigantic behemoth of a right tackle. Now, I don't know what he profiles at in terms of, can he maybe play inside? Can he maybe shift over to be the left tackle if you need it? I don't know, but I really love his game, and I love the ability to get him here. He was already gone by the time you picked in your mock draft. In both of the ones I've done, he has been there. He's at the Senior Bowl, check. I don't know. I think he makes a lot of sense, even if he doesn't play right away. The other guy that I'm really, you know, and you could have sold me on any of these four guys. Yeah. I was very interested in all four of these picks that get made from 14 to 17. So I took Fuanga. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo, went to the Colts at 15. I love that guy. I honestly would be surprised if he's on the board at 14 and the Saints don't take him but it would be a question of what's now the value there.
Yeah.
And, are you really sell if the Saints take Quinyon Mitchell at 14, then Marshawn should just start packing.
Absolutely.
You know, because I'm not convinced they definitely trade him, but if they spend a first round pick on a cover press man corner,
what are you gonna trade a Debo?
No, but a Debo is in a contract year. So what if you can't hash out a long-term deal?
Gotcha.
And so it gives the Saints leverage as opposed to giving a Debo leverage. And I don't know. Like, you'll figure it out. But you definitely are not keeping Marshawn if you are adding a third guy to that mix. A third elite guy to that mix, not an Ike Yiadom. You're adding a number 14 overall pick to that mix. So to me, like, people are like, oh, they let Ike Yiadom walk. That means they're sticking with Marshawn. I don't think those two things are related, but I do think drafting Quinyon Mitchell at number 14 would be related to what Marshawn's future is. Either way, he makes way too much sense for the Saints.
Do you think they're locked in then on Alante as the slot?
Well, we'll see. Right. Like, again, if they take Quinyon Mitchell, maybe that they do push him back there. But I don't know. Either way, right. Like, he was at the Senior Bowl. He dominated the Senior Bowl. And he's a guy, like you talk about, why can't they just look at stuff on tape? The way Toledo played didn't give you a ton of tape about what you're going to ask him to do at the NFL level, but you saw him at the Senior Bowl doing the things that the Saints would ask him to do, and he was starring in that role. So to me, that's a good, like, you wonder, it's like, well, why are these scouting events important? You have all this tape. Well, sometimes the tape doesn't show you everything because not all the teams play the same way that you're going to play. So anyway, then Olu Fashanu at number 16. Again, this is a guy that you could slot him in at 14 instead of Fuanga, yeah. And I would be like, yeah, good idea. Like, you could sell me on both of those guys. Then Brock Bowers at 17. I would love Brock Bowers. I really would. Like, I would not be upset at all if you skipped a tackle and went Brock Bowers here. But from a practicality standpoint, that would, if that didn't work out, you would get hammered. If, like, your offensive line is struggling and Brock isn't delivering, you look back at that pick in 2 years and be like, why? That was just dumb. So I don't know. But either way, any of those four picks I'd be fine with. I went with Fuanga because he's the one I know the most about. I've talked to him. I like his approach. And I think he kind of fills what you need in terms of, okay, we don't know what we're going to get out of Ryan this year and beyond. If we lose Ryan, like there's a very, like you say, like, well, you don't need a right tackle right now, but what happens if Ryan Ramczyk gets through week 12 and then suddenly his knee gives out on him? Like, you're going to be thanking your lucky stars that you invested in a premium right tackle option. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I don't know how easy it is to regenerate cartilage.
It's physically impossible, Steve. Medically, he's not a lizard. You know, he's not like an iguana or a gecko. You know, they like drop their tail as like a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's a. No, maybe we could like inject some lizard DNA into that knee, but then you get into like the whole Spider-Man villain territory, and that's not what you want.
Well, I mean, if it helps out Ramczyk's knee, I'm all for it. He can have the villain arc.
Yeah, as long as he turns into the lizard guy after he retires. But again, maybe that's the 2025 season. You don't know where you're going to get. So, like, yeah, you might get through the 2024 season by like splicing Ryan Ramczyk's with lizard's DNA. But then in 2025, he's going to be terrorizing the city and you're going to have to find something else. You're going to have to find another option. So that's just, you know, just thinking practically, I think that's why you would probably go with right tackle at number 14.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yep. And we can debate whether, you know, Andrew Garfield or Tom Holland or Tobey Maguire should be the one that takes care of the long-term issues. Yeah. But that's a problem. That's a bridge we can cross later on.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, good.
We've got our Marvel fix.
Yeah. I think it's just being realistic. But all right, so we'll just go through the rest really quickly.
You got to run on tackles too now.
Yep. Nate, well, I mean, we've already gotten the tackles. We got two already, and then we get two more coming up. So Nate Wiggins to the Bengals at 18. I think that was the same in both. Amarius Mims to the Rams at 19. Troy Fitanu out of Washington to the Steelers. Leitu Latu, edge rusher to the Dolphins. He's another one that was pretty popular to the Saints, but I think with Chase Young in the fold, kind of loses some steam. Cooper DeJean, another guy who I could see the Saints looking at. Maybe if he got to 45, if maybe he fell, I could see them doing that. Maybe they trade into the back end of the first. I don't think, it's probably unlikely, but To the Eagles at 22, Cooper DeJean. Tyler Guyton to the Vikings at 23. Brian Thomas Jr. to the Cowboys. Chop Robinson to the Packers at 25. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Bucks at 26. This is the same in both mocks. Graham Barton to the Cardinals at 27. Kool-Aid McKinstry to the Bills. Kamari Lassiter, cornerback out of Georgia, to the Lions. Xavier Worthy, the fastest man at the combine ever, to the Ravens at 30. Darius Robinson, again, so you're seeing this kind of, this guy's value fluctuate significantly. Still doesn't get out of the first round. He goes to the 49ers at 31. Yeah. It makes sense because they, you know, they let Chase Young walk, but they're still going to have a need for a big bodied like defensive end. Then Ladd McConkey, the final pick of the first round to the Chiefs. He does seem like a Pat Mahomes type guy. Start of the first round or first pick of the second round, Braylon Trice, edge rusher to the Panthers. Makes sense. They're going to try to, you know, replace Brian Burns. Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle to the Patriots. Adonai Mitchell to the Cardinals, wide receiver out of Texas. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., cornerback.
Good old Rakestraw.
Mr. Rakestraw. Peyton Wilson, linebacker, goes to the Chargers at 37. Keon Coleman, Titans, wide receiver out of Florida State. Mike Sanders still. He was
popped up on me a few times as a possibility in the second round, Coleman.
Keon? Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I don't know. Like, and I think if you're looking for a wide receiver for the Saints, you're looking for a very specific wide receiver, and we're going to get into that in a second. Mike Sanders still was my pick in the first mock, okay? Okay. He's going to the Panthers here at number 39. And I will draw your attention back to the first mock. PFF gave me an F for this pick. An F minus, if I recall. It gave me the lowest grade possible. It was like, you are reaching. He's a fourth round pick. Well, what's changed? Anyway, like, so PFF is making this pick, not me. But apparently this is no longer an F pick. So, like, that's the thing. Like, don't look at these grades and say, well, they gave me an F, so that means I'm wrong. Because this, they don't know. These grades mean nothing. The only thing the grades mean is you took a guy that PFF had rated low and you took him higher than they would have suggested.
There you go.
That doesn't mean, but PFF isn't always right. And clearly they've adjusted to the point that they're taking Mike Sanders still higher than I took him at a point where they gave me an F. So anyway, that's just my, again, like, don't overreact. Like, oh, they gave me an A. That means I'm right. Okay. Kingsley Suamataya, Commanders. Zach Frazier, another interior lineman, goes to the Packers at 41. TJ Tampa to the Texans at 42. Tyler Newbin, safety, to Minnesota, goes to the Falcons. Bo Nix goes to the Raiders at 44. And so it's interesting because if you were really in on Bo Nix and you wanted him at 45, you did not get him. So who did I go with? Mike Sanders still's off the board. So that kind of rules out going completely the same with what I had done previously. So I'm going with Xavier
Leggett. Yeah.
Out of South Carolina. And one thing that I learned about Xavier Leggett is, have you heard this man talk?
Very Southern, very country.
You've heard it.
Yes.
You've heard it. I need to find the clip. Hold on.
Yeah, you want to talk about country? Xavier's definitely got some country to him.
Whether you're taking a pitch or catching a short pass or catching a deep ball, what would you say are the best parts of your game that help you get into the end zone so often?
Oh, man, I'd say the deep ball, man. But I really feel like any way that I get the ball in my hand, I could get it to that end zone.
Yeah, you want to talk about a go-to interview? We are all going to Leggett, man.
Whether you're taking a
pitch. Oh, man, I'd say the deep ball, man. But I really feel like any way that I get the ball in my hand, I could get it to that end zone.
It's almost like a character of me doing a Southern accent, and it's really his.
Yeah, no, and so, okay, but this is like vintage South Carolina accent, right? And I lived in South Carolina for 4 years, and so I get it. And it reminds me so much. Like, I don't even know where he's from, but I had a friend, his name was John. We called him John Boy. And he had that exact accent. And his parents owned like a furniture store in like Poplarville, South Carolina, something like that. And I remember vividly because every time he would laugh, everyone else would laugh because of his laugh. Because that he would always like, if you'd say something and he'd go like, and he would laugh and then everyone start laughing. Like, and like, I would bet money that if you got Xavier to get going, that's exactly how he would laugh. Like, God, oh, just the deep ball, man. Just get me the ball. And every time I'm gonna get it in the end zone. Just get me the ball. I don't know. It has nothing to do with why I want to pick him. But
no, definitely fits that big body need.
And I don't want this to come off as me making fun of Xavier. I love that accent. It's hilarious to me. And I want them to draft him alone just because those bites will be so enjoyable to listen to. And again, I'm not making fun of his accent. Don't take this as me making fun of his accent. It's just so jarring to hear it. Anyway. So Xavier, 6'3", give or take 220 some odd pounds, big bodied guy. Well, yeah. And I think if you're taking a wide receiver in the first two rounds of this year's draft, it's gotta be because they fit the archetype of the wide receiver that you need and don't have. And currently you have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, very high quality wide receivers, fast, you know, agile. They can run all the routes. They can make guys miss, you know, and they can do a lot of things, but what they aren't going to do is out physical a guy down on the goal line, like box a guy out, be that contested catch guy that you can throw a fade to and they can just out, they can body someone and go get it, right? That's what you don't have. A.T. Perry can do that.
Right.
But, you know, even he's a big guy. He's not a, you know, I want that build, that kind of catch it in traffic that you had with Mike Thomas, right? And I think he's a guy that would make sense. So if I get to this point, again, like a lot of the guys that I would have been interested are off the board. So Xavier's a guy, again, Senior Bowl, got a really good look at him.
Senior Bowl box, right.
Check. And personality, like we talked about his accent, like you get over his accent and you listen to him talk and you do like a lot of what he's saying is very, very encouraging in terms of his approach and how he feels about the game and that sort of thing. So, you know, while it's fun to kind of like the country bumpkin accent is fun. Willie Gay's kind of got that too. Willie Gay's got a kind of a surprising Southern accent that you might not have expected. Like the way he says golly, you could tell he's from Mississippi, right?
Man, you saw the Chiefs recently put out too. They're like, you know, best of luck kind of thing to the hype man. Yeah.
Juice boy. Right.
Right.
And so like I only brought up the accent because I want to prepare everybody for if they do draft this guy and you hear him talking, you're like, excuse me, what?
It'd be perfect. Yeah. We'll take him.
Yeah. Fit like a glove. But all right. And then we can go through the next few picks. We don't need to go through all of them, but yeah. So like a Chris Braswell, Edgerrin Cooper, Jordan Morgan. So if you wanted to get that tackle, now I took tackle in the first round. I took Taliese Fuanga. If you didn't want to take tackle in the first round, there is a chance that Jordan Morgan falls to you at 45. And I do like right. Jordan Morgan. He's another guy who, check, was at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, he was a guy who he's a late riser. He's a guy that is probably a little more developmental. And I know people, you know, they'll have flashbacks when you hear developmental. But I think he could make sense at 45 if he gets there. And then, you know, Michael Penix, you took him at 45. He got here to 51. Still a second round pick. Troy Frank. Wow, the
Steelers loading up.
Yeah, right. I don't think this is Penix to Pittsburgh probably wouldn't make any sense at all, given what we know now. But like, I think this range would make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, Roman Wilson at 55. He's a guy who I would love to see. If the Saints didn't have two guys who were like clones of Roman Wilson already, I would say that I would love him. But Javon Bullard, Georgia safety. These are guys that would make sense. Jonah Ellis, brother of Caden Ellis. So not for nothing. If Jonah is on the board in the third round and the Saints are sitting there like, hey, we got all these fifth round picks. Can we go up and get Jonah Ellis, edge rusher out of Utah? We love me some Utah. That would make sense. Anyway, that's all I got. You got anything else before we close out of here?
No, just keeping an eye now, I guess. Would you even say we're in the second wave now of free agency, or is there kind of like the third wave even?
I think we passed the second wave. I think Chase Young was like the final
tier there,
piece of the second wave.
Gotcha.
And then you're going to get, you know, like you're not going to see any more 10 million plus contracts handed out, I would guess. And you're talking about some more prove it deals, some, you know, guys, some veterans who, you know, maybe just want to find a spot where they can go win a title, that sort of thing. Like those, like Michael Thomas, for example. I think that's kind of right, wave three.
And there's really been, I don't think I've heard even a whisper about him.
No, because I think he's, you know, he's not going to be a guy that commands this huge market, but he does want to be a guy that ends up in a good situation. And so I think that's where you shift from total money being sent out to situational signings, like Jarvis Landry coming back home, Tyrann Mathieu coming back home, those types of things. But yeah, so just to tie it up, Steve's mock, he took Byron Murphy at number 14, Michael Penix at number 45. In my mock, I took Taliese Fuanga at Oregon State, offensive tackle at number 14, and then Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina at number 4-5. And that's it. So next mock, I'd like to do a trade mock and kind of see how things develop.
Man, I got to tell you, with that 14 pick, I was receiving tons of offers.
Yeah, when you're in that range, you're going to be getting them. Because
especially with the QBs on the board, right?
Yeah, right, because guys are going to fall, and now suddenly you're going to be like, well, that team really wants that guy. What are they going to be willing to get? Because you can, you know, there's a lot of intriguing options, and you're not going to be the core QB needy team. So you have the luxury of saying, hey, we go back to 18, 19, 20.
Right.
And still get the guy that we like, because the Saints always reach anyway.
I can't argue like with that at all. Right.
I'd like that. But all right. Again, I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. This is Inside Black and Gold. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. You can follow Steve at Steve Geller, WWL. Check out the latest news, notes, and analysis at WWL.com. I will eventually work my way back to South Carolina, to Louisiana.
Eventually, right.
Eventually. I don't go back to South Carolina anymore. There's nothing for me there.
Well, you got to talk to your boy, Leggett.
Yeah, maybe we can go hang out.
Yeah. It kind of cranks up.
Yeah. It's every time, exactly the same. I wish I could have a clip. I wish I had a clip of that I could play. And you'd be like, that's spot on. The years of work on this implementation. Oh, all right. Who dat? Go Saints. Thanks, y'all.
Who dat indeed, everyone.